Hey everyone, I'm Andrea Ferretti and this is Yogaland. Today my guests are Adam and Holly Hustler, along with Jason. Jason joined me for this conversation as well. Adam and Holly are a husband and wife team. They're based in England. They host a yoga podcast together. They both teach yoga, and Holly also offers sound healing and sound healing trainings. If you are interested in becoming a sound healing teacher, she is, I am absolutely certain, amazing, because she's the most lovely energy, lovely voice, and it feels to me like this is something she was truly meant to do. She's living out her dharma. Adam studied years ago with Jason, and that's why I had Jason join me in this conversation. I thought it would be really fun to catch up with them. They had a baby boy a little over a year ago, and I wanted to hear about the yoga of parenting. I wanted to hear about how they use their practice and apply it to, you know, one of life's biggest challenges. I wanted to hear what they're up to, how it's changed their practice, their teaching, and we got to get into all of it. So it was a lot of fun. They also just have so much to offer through their podcast. They've been doing it for 4 years now, so they are really seasoned in the yoga podcast space. So I highly recommend you go listen to them. All right. Enjoy this interview. You will also get to hear what Jason's love language is, which is hysterical to me. Okay, enjoy the interview with Adam and Holly. All right, this has been the most fun off-mic time I have had with any guests. Hello, Holly and Adam. Hello. And Jason is here joining me, which is, I think, what's making it just a laugh a minute. Hopefully it'll continue.
Okay. I don't know. Okay, yes.
I just scolded him, if anyone really wants to know the meaning behind that. So it's great to see you guys. I know you're so busy, and I wanted to include Jason in this conversation because the four of us just have a lot in common, like being in the yoga world together, being in a couple, being parents, having a small business together, all of these things. So I thought it would be fun to just have a good old chat about how it's all going. So how's it all going? How old is Sunny now?
He's 1.5.
1.5.
Yeah.
He's a big boy. He's chunky.
It's crazy.
Is he?
Time goes. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's getting there. He's like tall and slim.
I think quite like high muscle density.
Adam does like drills with him in the morning.
little push-ups and things.
Yeah, well, they're the half truth and every just kidding.
Okay. This is kind of a non sequitur, but Adam, you're obviously really skillful and well-trained, but you have a super naturally mega flexible body. Holly, do you have the same, just kind of thinking about like gene pool, do you have the same kind of like your natural default is high motion everywhere?
I was a dancer for most of my life. And I think that I've always been quite naturally flexible. But since having a baby, that has not been the case. So just getting my inspiration from Sunny currently. But yeah, hoping to get back on that bandwagon at some point. But yeah, naturally, I would say that I am.
So Sunny has some genetic potential in there.
But you haven't seen me for a while. I've acquired a bit of a dad bod, and there's a lot of resistance to me going deep at the moment.
Like roundness in parts?
Well, no. So to some degree, yes, there might be physical obstacles to depth in certain poses that weren't there before, like a good old bind.
Sure.
There might be stuff in the way.
Yeah.
But also just lack of flexibility, simply because I can't fit in as much yoga as I would like.
You know,
I want to be as good a dad as possible. So when I get home, I've got no desire to do a dynamic asana practice.
Yeah.
I want to throw my kid up and down.
Yeah.
Yes.
I get that.
So I'm going to just cut you off because it's my podcast. He's used to talking so much, but I'm going to filibuster. So, okay, this is kind of exactly what I wanted to get to, which is you're still fairly new parents. And like, I don't think anything changes anyone's life more than becoming a parent, especially as a couple. You know, it just changes the dynamic of everything. It changes the way you manage your time. It changes the way you view time and what quality time means. So, two-part question. and you started to answer it, Adam, but you know, how has it changed your practice? And then how do you relate it to that? Like, how does your practice play into your parenting?
Shall I go? So I'm not a fan of this idea that, you know, being a parent is a yoga practice. You know, I think there is a formal practice and there is an informal practice. But I think my long-term formal practice has helped me become a less reactive parent. So I'm able to kind of just see things as they are in that moment. And hopefully that means being a good dad. But what it does mean is that my formal practice has changed, but also suffered to some degree in that the chance of me doing an hour-long vinyasa class is just not happening. And it's also not what I identify my body needs as well. Actually, I identify I need a bit more cardio. I've started to do CrossFit, and I fundamentally disagree with so many of the movements that they do. But there's community, and it kicks my ass a little bit. And my focus is, in terms of the physicality of what I do, is to do everything I can to live as long as possible, to be as good a dad as possible and be in my kid's life as long as possible. And stretchy hamstrings aren't the focus of that. That's where I'm at.
I genuinely don't know how anyone is a parent who hasn't had some kind of yoga practice before. There have been so many moments when Sonny's woken up in the night or, you know, something's happened. I'm so tired and sleep deprived. And I think, how does anyone who's not done yoga survive these really difficult moments of, and also, you know, just being with your partner and not screaming or biting their heads off. You have to have that yoga pause, you know, that moment to just bring yourself back and breathe, and so much like surrender required as a parent, and just like trusting the process, and also letting so much of your identity go as well, and like having the courage to kind of let those parts of you fall away and then find new parts of you underneath it. It's quite scary and overwhelming and amazing all at the same time. So many emotions that you feel, and you wouldn't change any of it at all. So, and for me, you know, I don't have any yoga practice. I went to my first yoga class in ages the other day, and it was amazing. But I've really found this this real kind of wisdom and just loveliness in not being on the mat, actually, and kind of integrating all of the practice that I did do on the mat. And I think there's actually a real place for that. Mm-hmm. It's almost like I can practice it more. So I guess that's kind of against
you still have a non-asana practice, though, don't you?
Yeah,
you're still meditating. You're still...
Well, when I can, when I can. Yeah.
I love it.
So, yeah, so that's where I'm at.
I can so relate to what both of you said. And I'm going to let you talk in a second, I promise. But I think I went to my first studio. It was Tom Lee, I remember, at Rusty's Place when that was still open in the city. After maybe, about a year and a half. And I walked in and I just said to him, like, I'm still nursing. I don't even know if I'm going to make it through. And he was like, I just love you. And I'm so happy that you're here. And it was great. It felt great to be back, but I also knew that fundamentally it just wasn't what I needed anymore at that point in my life. And I needed so much more like nourishment. I mean, there's so much output and giving and those, especially in those early years, especially if, you know, with the hours and the feedings and all of these things. But I feel like you too, you know, even as Sophia has gone through her early childhood, I think our mindfulness practice, the things that we have learned, just the simple lessons that yoga teaches, have been the most useful for us in parenting and for coping with each other, because it's not easy. It's just everything shifts. So I don't know, I'm grateful to it, and I can relate to what you both said.
I'm kind of drawing a blank on the earliest of the years.
Well, you were traveling a lot.
Well, so. I was traveling a lot because our livelihood depended on me being gone pretty much every weekend. And that was a very difficult thing. But I think as such, I think I kept a fairly like average maintenance based practice, you know, like nothing super intense, but my home practice has never been something super intense, honestly. But when Sophia turned, when she was around three, similar to Adam, that's when I started training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Oh, when she was around three?
Yeah, wow. It's been 8 years.
Oh my gosh.
And that became like an extremely important output or outlet that that in a lot of ways I think was fomented by my need for greater intensity and my need for greater learning in an environment that was not my own environment. I mean, not like yoga is somehow my
no, but like a work. It's not your workplace right? environment. Yeah.
And so I kind of needed, I needed a different community and a different structure. And I needed, I guess to some degree, a more overt escape, because practicing at home and then, you know, having to be gone every weekend, I just needed something that was very different to take care of my physical and mental health. Mm-hmm. So I had to have that lateral shift as well. Yeah, I think as well as my memory serves me, which sometimes it does, I think that was my journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In can I ask a question based on that? Like in the early years, you said, you know, you were traveling so much, and I've had this issue of weighing up. I want to make more money. Mm-hmm. Ergo, I want to travel, et cetera, et cetera. But also I'm desperate to spend more time with my child.
Yeah.
So I'm saying no to a lot of things, especially if it's over 3 days, I'm trying to negotiate down or I'm just not going. And I thought it could go two ways when I was going to become a dad. I could either want to make all the money in the world and be away all the time because I'm the provider, or I could just want to like chill out and play with some toys and watch Disney. Yeah. It's kind of gone down that route a little bit. Like, did you have that issue, and how did you navigate
it? I had that issue, but I don't know that I had that option. First of all, I don't know that I have the emotional option to not be hyper-focused in what I'm hyper-focused in, right? Mm. And I've been hyper-focused as a yoga teacher, and it's not easy for me to make that transition. But also, I think that the cost demands of living where we lived and having the life structure that we have just actually didn't provide much space, and neither of us wanted to, like, no disrespect, move back to Ohio or some other place where the cost of living was less. But I will say this, I very rarely did things that were more than 3 days. Usually it was Friday through Sunday. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I really didn't do anything other than be with Sophia. I took her to school. I picked her up. We went to lunch, like all these things. So in terms of my relationship with her, I feel like, well, I'm going to put it another way and be kind of succinct about it. I remember teaching in San Francisco a 5-day intensive in kind of those early years. And I left at 7:30 in the morning and I got home at 6:30 at night. And those felt like the worst, like that felt like the week of parenting where I was with her the least. Right. And I was with her
2 weeks. It was always 2 weeks. By the end of those 2 weeks, I would be like, I hate everyone and everything. I just was so hard.
Yeah. And that was a very that's like a very common schedule for working for like out of the home working parents. Mm. So that also gave me feedback that when I was gone, I was gone. But when I was there, I was fully immersed. Mm. But yeah, that is certainly a conundrum for sure. Mm. How much are you there versus how much are you not, and livelihood.
Have elected long days. I occasionally, when I have to go in early, I will bang doors in the house in the hope that Sonny will wake up, so I at least get to see him for 10 minutes.
Oh, I thought it's just you being you, like impossible to be quiet.
The big reveal, Holly. Now, Holly, how do you feel about that reality? That he was trying to wake up the child.
Well, it's sweet in a way. I'm going to see the positive in that. But he has no indoor voice whatsoever. It's just impossible to get.
I have a yoga teaching voice, and that's it. Yeah.
I can relate to that. Yeah. Yeah, I think that it is really difficult to navigate how much to work, how much to not work. And then as the mom, Holly, I wanted to ask you how you're balancing that as well. Sometimes people say to me, like, how do you do it? How do you keep putting out so much work? And I very honestly say, like, I don't do quote unquote as good a job as I think I should be, like, and I've kind of accepted that that's how it is in a way. Mm. And motherhood is fleeting. And this part, you know, these periods when they're home, it flies by and I'm just doing my best. But how has that transition been for you, balancing work and motherhood?
There's so many different layers to it, aren't there? Because there's no job that you'd rather do than being a mum. And I'm so torn so much of the time because half of me just thinks, oh, do you know what? I just want to give everything up and just devote every second to being the best mum that I can possibly be for Sonny and just be with him all of the time. And but then, you know, practically I think, oh, but then, you know, I actually do need to make money, make a living as well. And also I think that me being me, I do need something else to keep me, to keep my mind occupied and to keep me interested and passionate in life. Not that Sonny doesn't do that, but just to have my own, my own thing going on as well. So I'm lucky enough to really love what I do. And, you know, I find real purpose in, you know, helping the world in the way that I hope I do. So it's just kind of this flowing with the seasons. Like sometimes I just feel so unmotivated and just want to, you know, spend all my time with Sonny. And luckily, you know, I'm self-employed and I can kind of do that to a degree. But then other times I feel really creative and Sonny goes to nursery and I'll have, you know, a couple of full days of just working and putting together new things. So I think I've just really learned to take the pressure off myself and know that, you know, being a mum is more than enough anyway. It's like the most purposeful job you're ever going to do in this world. Yeah, just take things day by day rather than think, oh, this is the next project that I want to put out there. I think I feel fulfilled now that I'm a mum. So it's less about seeking external validation in my work because I already feel like I've got that from, you know, my son, and I know he adores me and being with me. And it's, yeah, it's like I have less to prove. And that's the shift of motherhood, I suppose, which is beautiful.
I love hearing that. That makes me so happy for you. I think it took me much longer to get to that point. I was really torn for a long time. I think that taking it day by day, the things ebb and flow and they will continue, right? Your child will ebb and flow too. Like they'll go through high need periods where they really need so much more attention or they're sick or they're going, you know, and then they go through periods where it's fairly effortless. And like you said, you're like, oh, I can produce. But I'm really happy to hear that you have that sense of purpose already. That's really,
I mean,
nice.
I say that today. Tomorrow I might be crying on the floor all day. So it's just, you know, it's a roller coaster, isn't it?
Yeah. How about your relationship with each other? How has having Sonny changed that?
You know, I don't think it has.
Well, I mean,
oh, so
Sorry, I totally interrupted you, but I guess just in the sense that we don't have as much time for each other because there's a little one involved. But that's
there's less date nights, etc. Yeah. But we're a couple that love each other, but don't have that much in common in some senses. We have lots in common in the right ways. But our bookshelves are very different, okay? Our approach to life is very different. So to have this commonality of something we absolutely love together and we are completely invested in this little human being and giving the best life possible, and we will disagree on some things about that, but the fact we have that, I think, has brought us closer than ever. And yes, sometimes when we go out for dinner, we end up spending half an hour looking at photos of Sunny.
Wait till you get a dog.
So maybe we need to re-add some magic to it at some point. I don't think it's affected us in a negative way. And both of us are very like hands-on parents.
Yeah.
And we share the load as much as possible. I want Holly to continue working because I think she's a better sound healer than I'm a yoga teacher in the scheme of things. So I think, you know, long-term, house husband, I'm up for that.
He's got a plan.
Yeah.
That's a good plan.
He's basically my manager anyway. I'm rubbish at promoting myself and putting myself out there. He does it all for me, so I really need to start paying you commission for that.
Yeah, there you go.
Smart man.
Full-time agent.
I knew Adam was smart.
Adam Hustler. Hustling for Holly. So Holly, let's talk about your sound healing. I am so actually maybe 2 years ago for Jason's birthday, we went and did a sound healing with some friends. And
this feels like it was a gift for you, not Jason. This does not seem like something Jason would enjoy.
I was kind of waiting for this, right? So there's like a there's a subtle hidden still unknown part of me that only she knows. And so this was a relevant gift, but I didn't publish the experience on social media.
I know when you said that, I was like, gosh, was that really just a gift for me? But then my first thought was, well, he's really, really hard to shop for. So maybe but I think I checked it with you ahead of time because I wasn't going to drag him to something that made him uncomfortable.
Yeah. And, but I understand Adam's.
Yeah. That publicly people might not.
Yeah.
Associate you with something like that. But we had a lovely experience and I became pretty obsessed with all of it. So I would just love to know like what drew you to it and just like how you think it works. You know, what is like the mechanisms behind it that make it such a lovely healing experience?
Yeah, there's lots of different ways I could go. Probably not going to go down the science route tonight of having complete baby brain. But what drew me to it? So I've always been musical. I've always been a singer in some sense. I was in a girl band many years ago, very cheesy pop girl band. So I was always loving to you know use my voice, but. Yeah, I share this story a lot. Even though we had the absolute best time of our lives, it felt quite, you know, we were a product. We were told what to sing. We were told how to dance. And it was all my manager said right at the beginning, just remember, you are a business. This is a business. You are a product. So there was never kind of that self-inquiry aspect of, you know, being in a girl band. I hadn't started on that journey at that point, but I knew that I wanted to sing in some way. So I was in the band for 3 years and it just very naturally came to an end. I kind of tried to make it on my own as a solo artist for a bit, but nothing was kind of coming together. Nothing felt very aligned. And I just felt like I couldn't find my place in the music industry at all. And it felt very brutal and not somewhere that I wanted to be at the time. Went through a bit of a difficult period in my life, broke up with a boyfriend, band split up, had to move home with the parents. So I was broke and, you know, and everything kind of comes crumbling down around you. And at that point you find yoga. For a lot of people do. And that really, really changed my life. I started getting into yoga and meditation and found myself on that path and finding that kind of internal connection that I'd really been craving for my whole life, really. I'd always been in a relationship until that point. So I'd never really, you know, had the opportunity to be with myself. Over a couple of years, started teaching yoga after a while. And very naturally, I was sort of led to sound healing. I just saw a poster for all the beautiful bowls were on this poster. And I thought, got to get myself into that room because the bowls are so pretty. And that
They're
was my so only initial
pretty.
Thought.
They're so pretty.
It's beautiful crystal rainbow colors and it was sound healing. And it was just everything that I was into. So I thought, oh, amazing. And yeah, found myself in this candlelit room, laid down. I mean, who doesn't love just, you know, laying down for an hour and just being bathed in these beautiful vibrations and sounds. And yeah, not only was the experience just so beautiful and nourishing and, you know, just gives you that chance just to be with yourself for an hour. It was actually the day after I really felt the effects of it. And I always describe it as like a reset button. I just felt this really overwhelming sense of just peace and clarity and just like real connection to me, and all of the doubts and fears have just sort of gone for a few hours. And it was such a beautiful feeling. And I just thought, I've got to bring this into my yoga classes. And I just knew that that was going to be a new path for me. So, I mean, I still had no money at the time, but just put everything on the credit card, training, crystal bowls. And it was just the start of a new journey. And a really, really amazing one. So yeah, I'm lucky enough to be doing that as my full-time job today, which is wonderful. And it's becoming such a huge thing. And I'm not surprised why, because you asked me how it works. In a nutshell, I always say the best explanation is in the experience itself, because it's quite hard to put it into words. It's more of like an experiential thing. And I think the proof is so often in how you feel afterwards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had it time and time again, the amount of feedback and people coming up to me saying it just puts them at peace. And, you know, I've had feedback like people have got in touch with childhood memories and have uncovered things that have helped them to heal. And they've seen the next step forwards on their path. You know, and I'm not putting that into their heads. There's something in the vibrations that it helps you to drop to that place in between awake and asleep, where you're not in your head anymore. You're not in your busy thinking mind. you go into the delta theta brainwave states, mm-hmm. which is where you can ultimately really relax, get into that rest and digest parasympathetic nervous system mode. Mm-hmm. And then you can connect with, you know, clarity, your creativity, your intuition, answers to things you've been looking for outside of yourself. And that's really where the magic happens. So yeah, there are just so many benefits, and the proof is in the pudding, really. You know, so many people have said it's just been so, so healing and beneficial for them. So,
and Holly goes yeah. into the science a lot on her trainings, but mm-hmm. then what I always compare it to, the science wise, is penicillin. Like, for so many years, we didn't quite know how penicillin worked. We knew what it did, mm-hmm. we didn't quite know how it worked. And that's as a critic, as it were, as a cynic, that's why I always kind of describe sound healing. Mm-hmm. In my view, is that there is something incredible happening, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. we don't have the deepest understanding of it yet, mm-hmm. of the why.
It's to do with vibration, frequency, energy. It's the vibrations that come out of the bowls. It said, you know, we're vibrational creatures. Like, you know, if you hold like a big mic, would it be a microscope up against the skin, you'd see that we're just made up of hundreds of thousands of vibrating atoms of energy. Like, we know that science is telling us that now. So it's essentially the sound waves from the crystal bowls are working to shift us back to our natural state of being, which is love, balance, harmony. But, you know, we're just clouded with trauma and stress and life and noise pollution. And it's basically chaos in our body and vibrations and frequencies that aren't supportive of our highest good. Mm-hmm. So the sound waves are just working to shift everything back into that natural state of, mm-hmm. of balance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's a writer who I love. Her name is Emily McDowell. And in her little byline, it says woo adjacent, meaning like I'm kind of woo woo, but like not totally, you know. And I saw that and I was like, I am totally woo adjacent. Like, and I think that, you know, I think if you're willing to try different therapies, different things, like I go to acupuncture constantly, and it's a similar thing. Like, we don't know from a Western perspective exactly how it works. But the proof is in how it works for you and your unique, you know, constitution and your life experiences and what your body is drawn to. It, to me, it's all about how it works for you after. And that, like you said, that's the proof. And so whenever people ask me, like, do you believe in this? Do you believe in that? And I'm like, I'm woo adjacent. Like, if you want to try it, you know, go try it. And you will know if that's the thing that works for you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's actually the beauty in having so many different healing modalities, is that I do think that certain things resonate more with certain people than others. And I think you can find your thing. Like, I mean, this sounds kind of, but like, aromatherapy works really well for Jason. Like, smells are just a huge deal to him. I mean, as long as
there's a lot coming out about me here.
It's true. We're peeling back the onion. As long as I've known him, he was the one who like used to be like, here, smell this rose geranium. Like with the essential oils, it really has a profound effect on
you. She would get at Yoga Journal, she would get like all the samples of everything. And I would read.
And I'm like,
like, even before we were together, I'm like, give me that.
And it didn't do anything for me. It really wasn't.
I think I'm going to be ultra simplistic in saying, I think the primary mechanisms of health and well-being so often come down to, does it facilitate circulation? Does it facilitate relaxation?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whatever do those things, getting circulation to increase and improve by moving your body and mm-hmm. doing anything to help you calm the bleep down and relax, that's going to help. Like, or another way of thinking about it is, without those mechanisms, circulation and relaxation, nothing's going to help. You know, like if we're not doing those things and supporting those things, there's probably no other like sub mechanism by which your real quality of life metrics improve.
Yeah. Yeah. The nervous system seems to be, I mean, we finally understand.
Seems important.
It's everything. It's like the root of everything. I don't know why it's taking us so long to embrace that, but
Do you use these essential oils to manipulate Jason in any way, like to get what you want? Like, is there a certain
set? No, that's easy.
If you want to buy something,
that's easy enough.
But you know,
I woke up with a lavender mint under my ear.
But you know what's really sweet is that I sometimes joke that if I did not grow Sophia in my own body, I would not be sure, absolutely sure she was mine, because she is 98.9% Crandall. They're starting to be little things like we've started singing together, like musical theater and stuff like that.
I think she'll be more like you as
most
she gets older.
Things she's like him, and with aromatherapy, it's like. Yeah. I gave her long ago, Elena Brower sent me this kids kit of the roller balls. She was obsessed. She brought it to school and she got in trouble and they took them away from her because they said it was like medicine. She sobbed. Oh, it was like the saddest thing. Oh, it was law school.
Anyways,
I don't know why I'm telling that story. But yeah, but you both have the aromatherapy gene.
I think in a way, the more sensitive you are to sound, sight, smell, touch, the more effective these mechanisms are, right? So, it's like there's almost like a greater or a deeper absorption. There's also more, probably the more sensitive you are in any of your faculties, the more you take in, the easier it is to be irritated by them, but also probably the easier or more impactful that
the
optimal.
Benefits are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's like you're more responsive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Holly, you teach trainings and they're online, aren't they?
And actually I have to thank Adam for this because like I said, I'm a bit of a slow burner with pushing myself. And Adam said just one day, I think it was a couple of years ago now, you should do trainings, and got a massive case of imposter syndrome, but also saw a big gap for it because, you know, lots of people were asking me, where can I do a training? I kept referring people to other people, and I thought, well, you know, I've got a few years of experience, and I'm sure, and what's so beautiful about sound healing is you can kind of make it your own, you know, really create the training based on your own life experience and what you want to share and the courses that you've done already, which is what I did. I put all my passions into a training, and it really just flowed out of me. It started with a real life one at Tri Yoga in London. And then a lot of people from around the world got in touch and said they wish that they could join. So I thought, well, why not make it into a kind of longer 12-week journey? So essentially the same thing, but just stretched out. And they've been even more successful, I think. It seems like everyone, I mean, in my echo chamber, wants to be a sound healer at the moment, which is brilliant for me and
good
for the world.
For sure.
Which is very exciting.
How many people have you trained? Like hundreds?
Probably close to 200 now, I think.
That's
which is
so awesome.
Yeah, it's such a joy. More than anything, it's not learning how to play a crystal bowl. I've realized that what it is, it's what I'm good at is empowering women to remember. I know it sounds cheesy, but remember their own power and what they're here for in the world, and to like kind of draw their magic and their light out of them. And just to see that transformation is just, oh, it's just everything. And it's just such a beautiful, you know, journey. Jason Adams switching off.
Holly invited me to do a session on her advanced training, and it was a rude awakening for them.
Oh, it was so balancing though, because I'm the woo adjacent one, and then Adam's I'm the fully fledged woo.
I think at one point it was a business module. I started to talk about, there was a person that had mainly older clients, and my view was, you know, they're all going to die pretty soon.
Adam,
so you need to diversify, and went down that
route.
I
can't believe you just shared that live again.
But she got value from it. She diversified her client base now. Be pragmatic.
He just thinks the things that you don't always think about.
Well, I mean, if you're teaching a business module, that's a very sensible, you were brought in to be sensible, right?
So, diversifying your demographics is, you know, that's all right.
But appreciated it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I said it with a smile.
I really do think there are a lot of similarities in our personality types in our relationships. It's very sweet.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, I want to talk about your podcast. You know, I don't want to sound too motherly here, but I'm very proud of you guys. It's been 4 years. Aww. It's been 100 episodes, and that is not easy. And I just see a lot of people starting the podcast in the yoga space, and then boop, 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 they're gone.
They go away.
I know. So I'm really happy that you're here. So tell me, and I know you've rebranded a little bit. So tell me about the state of the podcast these days. Like, what are you hoping to share with people through your podcast?
So why did we start initially? Although we started at the beginning of COVID, it wasn't a response to COVID. We had all the gear already before everything started to shut down. We wanted to do a podcast, and it was mainly to have nice conversations with people, because that's a nice thing. You know, over the years, we've got like free counseling sessions out of it almost. So that was one reason. The other reason was, I guess, just to like brand awareness, as it were, to get our names out there a little bit more.
Smart.
So that was part of it. The idea being that we chat to yoga people, because that's who we have access to, but we kind of go broader into the whatever wellness means, kind of in the broadest sense. And we're pretty consistent. Like we could never do them in person just because of where we live and circumstance, et cetera. You know, we're not going to start renting a studio, and our lives are too busy to, you know, have a studio for 4 days and invite people in. And it was going really well. And we slowed down a little bit. You know, when Holly was pregnant towards the end, Holly said, actually, I don't want to be involved in episodes because I'm tired. Fair enough.
Limited energy.
And then when we had the baby, I think the first year of Sunny's life, we probably did about 12 episodes. Probably five of those recorded at a festival live, like in a weekend.
It's a good way to
now,
do it. We've done that too.
There were tears. There were tears behind tents. It was an intense weekend.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I had a breakdown in the field.
Yeah. So in hindsight, never again. But then we decided, you know, do we want to keep doing it or not? And we decided, yes, we still want to do it because we enjoy it. And there was someone we had on as a guest a while ago called Chris Williamson, who had a podcast called Modern Wisdom, and he has blown up. He's been on Joe Rogan twice. He's done really well. And, you know, very different style of podcast. But I just loved his work ethic. You know, he was churning out five a week, asked amazing questions, and was doing everything he could to make himself a better podcaster. Like, he was doing improv comedy courses and I like to try and make myself a better podcaster. And we're never going to go that far down the rabbit hole. But I enjoy this process and I would love to become better at it. So we had to rebrand. I wanted it to be a bit timeless. So I went kind of very bright 80s skate, which is neither Holly's branding or my branding, but kind of standalone. I got a Venezuelan tattoo artist on Fiverr to make us a new logo. Mm-hmm. And we do it all ourselves. So we do the website, the editing, the graphics, the video, etc. And so we're pushing hard again now, and we've got about 10 guests lined up in the next few weeks. We've invested in all this gear. We've got this huge desk light thing.
I just have to point out, I love so much about Adam that he always says we, and it's him. I literally show up and do the talk. He does everything else. So I just wanted to give him the credit for that.
Yeah.
And the only issue I have is kind of the growth of it. So it isn't necessarily growing massively. I'm sure it will if we push hard. But I see on social media, so we have the Honestly Imbalanced account, which is fine. And I've started to push reels on that, kind of like the recordings. But I'm always reluctant to share too much of the podcast stuff on my main account, because that's not what my main people want to follow. And I know whenever I share podcast stuff, it doesn't do so well. So it's this awkward position where I know my social media profile would massively boost the podcast, but I'm kind of less inclined to constantly put podcast stuff on it, because that's not my main thing. So this is something I'm juggling at the moment, how to increase growth. And our focus right now is just increasing quality. So really good interviews, really good guests, really good expensive equipment, and hoping for the best.
Related to growth, how do you feel like, in general, do you feel like it serves your business for the two of you?
Well, the weird thing with podcasts, I think, I don't know if you get this or not, but you don't get that much direct feedback. I guess especially because I'm not putting it as posts on social media. So when someone actually says, whether it be an event, a conference, or just in class, oh, I love that episode, it means so much. Mm-hmm. Like that one person saying, oh, I love that episode as X, Y, Z, means the world to us. It's really weird. Like compared to someone saying, oh, I enjoyed your class, someone saying that actually listened to this thing we're producing is amazing. So I think we'll continue doing it, because we have the most wonderful conversations. And it does feel like we're actually offering something of significant value in the world. Mm-hmm. Whereas sometimes my reels, for instance, they're not against the grain. They're not disrespecting what I believe in. But, you know, me opening a mat with an axe isn't my biggest contribution to the world. Like, it's funny, it's like, but it's not that big. Whereas I think the podcast actually is a really lovely contribution.
Yeah.
And you feel like you're just getting such a good boost of inspiration every time you have a chat with just such amazing people that are doing such amazing things. You feel like you should almost be paying for their time because it rubs off on you. So that alone, I think we really appreciate and value.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I feel similarly. And I've actually gone through, I've been misspeaking for the past like 2 years and saying, oh, the podcast is 8 years old, or it's 9 years old, or it's almost 10 years old. This year will be the 8th anniversary. I finally counted up the years. So I have that right.
You've been saying 14 or 15?
No.
What were you saying? Oh,
10.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah. I've definitely gone through ebbs and flows. And I'm, you know, where I think in certain ways I've gotten my own head over the years where it really grew. And then it was like, oh my gosh, how do I keep it growing? Or how do I keep it people interested? Or how do I continue? And there was a bit of like this, you know, that feeling of you're trying to acquire something. And I finally, in the last 2 years, I've been like, whew, I've got to get back to just enjoying talking to people. Mm. And come what may, you know, that's why I started doing it. And it did well with that formula. I think the other thing is the space is now so crowded. For me, it's like, yeah. Oh my God, like I'm not whatever this guy is who you mentioned. I'm not on this show or that show it was never what I aspired to be. And as a mom, I don't have time to like spend every second of my day trying to get on other people's giant shows or brand myself or have a niche thing that I talk about. So sorry to make this all about me for a little moment. I just can relate to it. Like, it feels good to just come back to, it's meaningful to talk to people and to share with them and to learn from each other.
I want to throw my two cents into this, which is, I think we all to some degree, certainly including myself, are aspirational and we want growth. And growth comes with a lot of unforeseen consequences that aren't always happy or good. The bigger the thing, the more infrastructure to maintain the thing. The bigger the audience, honestly, the more complicated the audience dynamics can be. Mm-hmm. And growing, like just getting bigger, just kind of making a bigger tent and having more interactions, increasing the number of interactions isn't going to necessarily increase the quality of job satisfaction. And, you know, like, we all know this, but I'll share with Adam, because Adam teaches classes. Like, I'm sure, you know, for both of us or for all the teachers listening, like we like when a lot of people come to class, but there's been a lot of times I've taught a big class and not really felt that good about the class. Not about the others, but just like, I was just like, that didn't go well. And there's been plenty of times I've taught a small class and been like, oh my God, that felt really good. And so I think it's, you know, it's an important
to remember.
Yeah, it's an important thing to remember because our natural tendency as humans is probably almost always going to be growth and expansion.
Mm. Mm. I don't know how relevant this is, but it's something that always really stuck with me that I really love, because I think that we're kind of expected to grow really big. It just feels like that's what's supposed to be our path in the industry. I was listening to a podcast with Brené Brown. And I know she's obviously huge now, but she said, I've never been this further, faster person. I'm more of a slower, closer person. Mm-hmm. And that really resonated with me. She likes community and being able to know people's names and grow things a little bit slower and not feel the need to like rush forward really fast. And some people, that is their bag, and they do really well with that. I'm definitely like in that category, and that feels good for me. And that can still be growth, right? When you're doing things slowly and not maybe reaching so many people, but you're impacting people in your own way, in a bigger way.
Yeah.
Can I play devil's advocate on that? I don't know Brené Brown. Forget Brené for a second. But a lot of the people I know very well that on the surface are like, live a calm life, get off the internet, and blah, 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 are the same people like hustling hard, trying to get meetings with publishers or alike. They're living the most hectic, stressful lives. Although on the surface, they're saying all these same things. I'm sure it's not the case.
You're
for
saying Brené Brown's alive.
All of that. I don't know Brené Brown. But that is a thing that the people
that is so true. That is so true.
Anyways,
you could say it.
No, it's kind of random. I had this moment of like, I saw this reel today. Like there's a lot of like backlash against like yoga influencers, right? Which is fine. Like I'm not a yoga influencer. I'm a yoga teacher, right? But I kind of thought to myself, this person is desperate to be a yoga influencer. Like you like the obsession with the thing. It's almost like when Chevron has a commercial about the environment.
Right.
You're like, I don't trust this. You know what I mean? Like I there's something about
Something's a little fishy about this.
That kind of like a poster reel here and there about yoga, like a yoga influencer, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, but a constant obsession kind of betrays this like deep desire to be one or an insecurity that you're not one. You know what I mean?
You liked one of my posts today. You're not talking about me, are you?
No. I did like one of your posts today. Which one was it? Oh, it was
the axe one. That one is getting traction at the moment. Me cutting a mat open. Yet.
I haven't seen
it. Was it that one? No, I'm not referring to you, Adam.
You had to think about it.
I'm not.
Just to clarify.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, you can feel, even when someone posts something, they can say something, but you can feel the energy behind it, if it feels true or not.
And it's hard to find your voice as well online.
Yeah,
I tried to do a like talking head one where I was kind of like being motivational. Like most of my talking head stuff is a little bit sarcastic or just me, my normal voice. But I tried to do a motivational one, posted it, didn't do that well. And even Holly said,
it wasn't
that
him.
Doesn't feel like you, and it felt dirty to me. Like I felt like I was whoring myself out.
Have a shower after.
But do you think it's just that medium, Adam? So, for example, are you inclined to be more that way when you're teaching a class? Do you think it was something about the medium and what you were conveying and how are you conveying in that medium that didn't translate or not?
I was trying to impersonate. When I teach yoga, I'm entirely myself, completely. In that moment, maybe it was like a year ago, I was trying to emulate others, which is always a recipe for disaster. Because when you start to recipe, people will see through it and you will never be happy yourself. But it was in that moment, that day of weakness, I went down that path. Yeah.
You'd watch too many David Goggins and you're just like, I'm just going to tell people to work harder in their life.
But it wasn't even that. It was like that softer version. Oh, anyway, let's not even talk about it.
Yeah.
Ick. I got the ick of it.
That's very cute. Okay, I have never done this before, but I would like to do a little like cute rapid fire question
section. Sing along.
I was just on a podcast with Bradshaw Wish and Gianna Gambino, and they did it for me. That's how I got the idea. And I just thought it was kind of cute. So are you up for it?
Yeah, I love them. I'm joining their podcast around a little bit. I don't know her. I know Bradshaw. I think Bradshaw did he mentor in one of your programs as well, Jason?
Bradshaw and Gianna are both.
No, but they've both done my training in person.
They were both part of like his last training right before lockdown.
Okay.
So anyway, and I just adore them. I adore them. I kind of wish they lived in our town and Bradshaw could be like my grown yoga son, because I just adore them. I don't even know how to do this. All right. So we're going to just ramp up. So the first question is simply, which one of you in the couple is neater and cleaner?
Oh, me.
That'd be Holly, 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're cleaner. I'm neater.
Oh, that's good. On Bradshaw's podcast, I said I was a total pig and you were neither. So I'm good answer. That was a really good diplomatic answer. Okay.
I think it's true though. Anyways.
All right. What is your go-to like date / just quality time to spend together?
Just me and Adam together.
Yeah.
We try and get a date night in the diary, but it's realistically probably once every 2 months. So we're actually going out for dinner. It's pretty boring, but we're going out for dinner the weekend actually. So
I still feel, because a lot of people say that when you have children, like say bye to your relationship to some degree, and genuinely traveling. So Sunny has been to 10 countries now already. We've traveled the world with him. We're always doing stuff with him. When Holly and I are together, to me, it's with Sunny, it still feels like quality time.
Good.
We're still having wonderful conversation. It's still playful. But yeah, when we do go on a date, it's normally a date night that gets us home ideally by 8 o'clock.
So we have the evening.
Yep.
Morning coffee and a walk.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like to,
oh, that's nice. It's like a morning date.
We do date.
Yeah, when morning. Sophia's at school.
Is that every morning?
No.
We don't even have time to do it every morning. Yeah. We like actually make it a special thing. Like we put on, we joke, you know how in COVID we all wore like soft pants all the time? So we joke, we like put on hard pants. We like put on real clothes. You know, we're showered. We walk along the beach with our coffee. Sometimes we even hold hands.
Oh, that's so nice. It is important to make time for each other. Just you two, I think.
Yeah. And for us, Sophia has always gave us like a hard pass on babysitters. She just will say like, no, I'm coming with you. So we can't, we don't really get, and it's fun. I agree with you. Like we love to hang out with her. And so she goes to restaurants with us and things like that. We don't really do nights too often.
Do you have like family or friends nearby or in the past that would look after her?
No.
It's complicated.
Yeah.
Sophia's a very
she's got some separation anxiety.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's that part is complicated.
We are lucky. This is why we moved to where we are, because we're near Holly's parents.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Oh, which that's so nice. That's lovely. Okay. Next question. Who is a better dancer?
He would say him. I would say me.
Oh, Holly's a pro.
I'm not a pro.
Hips. You've seen my hips move, Jason. My hips are mobile. They've
all got right. Sort of
like full active and passive range.
Big. Yeah. 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 Andrew.
He's got rhythm.
Andrew takes the cake on this one.
Yeah, but you do that.
I don't really even participate in the sport.
Well, you have famously do the Celtic tango.
Nope.
Privately.
Ooh.
Nope. He like has the funniest dance moves in the world. So I coined it the Celtic tango.
Welsh,
because it's
FYI.
Well, but we call it Celtic for some reason. I don't know why. Oh no, maybe we did call it Welsh. Yeah, maybe we called it the Welsh tango.
Because
it's
my daughter's
see this now. So like white guy.
Intentionally so.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Of late, do you have a guilty pleasure TV show that you watch together?
Not together, but I love Married at First Sight. I am obsessed with it.
I don't know the Australian.
It's so good. And it's great because it is a guilty pleasure, but at the same time, it's all about love and people getting married at first sight. So they've never met each other before. And it's just, you just watch the relationship dynamics and what people are like in couples and all their trigger points. And you actually learn about your own relationship through the process. But, and I'm utterly obsessed.
Your relationship, if you had producers constantly trying to manipulate the situation, like I looked.
Here comes a skeptic.
Well, no, I'm not a skeptic. I looked at what was going on the show the other day. And so let's say there's 10 couples. They were getting the man to rate the other women in terms of attractiveness on a board. That's not a normal thing in a relationship. That's nothing to do with love. But we love Modern Family together. Oh, yes. Modern Family. I think we're halfway through. It's just so wholesome and easy to watch.
That was a good show.
Yeah. That's a really sweet show. We actually for years watched The Bachelor together for similar reasons. Like it's so absurd and weird and modern and bizarre. But at the end of the day, it just revealed how much we all just want to love and be loved. Like it just revealed just like that common humanity of just being these like young, gorgeous people crying in the car. No one's ever going to love me. Like, oh my gosh. At the end of the day, we all just, that's what we want
to be loved. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think, I'm trying to think, cause you phrased it guilty pleasures. There's plenty of things we watch, none of which do I actually feel guilty about, including like Project Runway, Top Chef, like no guilt. I love watching people who are good at what they do. I think, we've kind of quit.
We quit The Bachelor a few years ago. Just, I don't know why. We just got tired of it.
It was more guilt than pleasure.
Yeah. But we used to watch it with Chelsea, actually, who's she works with us. She's our good friend. She lives down the street from us now.
She
solidified our watching for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question. Do you know the five love languages? You heard of this? Physical touch, receiving gifts, quality time, acts of service, words of affirmation.
You should have told me this a long time ago.
You don't know the five love languages. Well, the problem is mine are every single one. That's like, I look at that list and like all of them. But what are each other's love languages?
Do you remember I think we did the quiz recently.
I like buying things for Holly.
Yeah. It's funny because you buy me gifts. So I assumed that Adam's love language was buying gifts. But when we did the quiz for you, it was actually quality time was your one. And I'm sure it was touch as well.
I've got no idea. I can't remember.
Yeah, but I think you have a bit of all of them, don't you? Like you said.
Well, everyone likes all of those things. Yeah.
For me, it's words of affirmation.
Sort of like, which one can't you live without? I think yours would be physical touch.
Yeah.
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 It's pretty easy for him.
Yeah.
But for me, would you be able to say one for me? I'm just, I feel, it makes me feel very.
No, 100% quality time. You need to be listened to.
So I think it's words of affirmation, maybe.
Oh, is that one of the languages? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know who made that up. Like
sub guy. I don't know. But
Where is it from?
I can't remember his name now.
I can't remember his name either.
I mean, I've got way more than that.
I just think it's a smart framework. Adam and Jason are like hard pass on this. I think it's just a good framework to think about things. I don't think it's like the end all be all, but yeah.
Well, I've got.
Using this very limited list. Quality time and words of affirmation for sure.
I've got a friend who has a husband, and this saved their marriage because he was always out in the garden doing the lawn, not spending time with her, and she was craving his attention and affection. They had to go to couples counseling. They brought up the love languages, and she realized that he was doing things around the house because he loved her. And I can't remember what her one was, but it brought them together.
So he was doing acts of service.
He was doing acts of service, showing her that he loved her through that, but not telling her or spending time with her. And she needed that. And he didn't realize that.
Right.
So
I feel
what's happened to the poor lawn? Has she gotten to the lawn?
The lawn's now like a wild garden.
He does a lot of lawn care since we've moved to the suburbs. So he's very concerned about lawns these days. It is an act of service. It is.
And it's a big job. I don't know if I don't think you had a garden or a big one where you last lived.
No.
But we've as well got a big garden now. To stay on top of it is a nightmare.
It's not
almost a full-time job.
It is insane.
He is, I can't even, the things that come out of his mouth.
I'm like every morning picking off like larvae off of like rose bushes. But that's the way that they'll exist and look pretty and not be eaten by the sawtooth rose slug. The amount of like YouTube tutorials on like bug care that I've watched to like, it's just insane.
Chelsea likes to say Jason's in his suburban dad era.
Oh my God.
Nothing wrong with that.
You guys, thank you so, so much for being here. I love you both so much. It was really fun. I wish we could do this once a month or in person, maybe someday in person. Someday we can for that.
Thank you so much for having us. It's been so fun.
Yeah. And, you'll have to send me links to all that you're working on right now so I can include it on the show notes page and definitely go follow them because you're both lovely and Adam is hilarious on Instagram. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
All right, everyone. I will put show notes, including links to their trainings, their podcast. They were kind enough to have me on their podcast, so I'll link to that interview as well. And you can find that at yogalandpodcast.com/episode328. Thanks as always for listening. We appreciate you so much. If you enjoy the podcast, feel free to follow us on social media. You can join my Substack, which is at yogaland.substack.com, or you can always leave us a rating and review, which is so, so, so very appreciated from the bottom of my heart. All right, everyone, until next week, enjoy your practice.